Hey everybody, I am C.
I'm Jen.
And you're listening to Tomtit and Baobab.
Welcome back to Tomtit and Baobab, the New York Times Spelling Bee-inspired podcast that's all about words, word games, and the word nerds who love them.
Boys are back in town. Boys are back in town.
Welcome Woo! Back. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Get back. Get back. Get back to where we definitely belong.
On this season, we're apparently just playing Encore.
Encore. Yes, I loved Encore. Mm-hmm. It was a board game, but basically you got words and then you had to sing about the words. Have we talked about
it
on the show?
I think
we might have. Oh my God.
I think we have.
It's so good though.
It is so good.
I think we should be playing Encore.
We could just have a podcast about Encore.
Yeah.
Guys, if you've turned in to listen to talk about the New York Times Spelling Bee... We hope you won't be disappointed. But speaking of singing, see?
I know where this is going.
Listeners, I just need it to be on the record that Cecilia, at the end of last season, talked about checkmating me in life. And
actually, you said that.
No, actually,
I have to point out that you said that I checkmated you in life.
All right. Everybody go back and listen and let us know who is right about this. Either way. The determination was made that Cecilia checkmated me at life. However, Tim Alborn, who was our guest last season, you all remember him as the limerick writing professor bee doer, was so kind that when I said that on Facebook, he told me that I checkmate Cecilia in all things singing.
Yes. Which, A, it's easily the most ridiculous thing anyone's ever said.
I was so happy about that.
And you were very happy about that. I know. All right. Speaking of singing in podcasts.
Musical theater about the bee.
Ooh, I love that. Uh-huh. Wait, but table it. Ah. Maybe we need to edit it out. What if someone steals that idea, Jen?
If someone steals it, that's fine. Just please give us credit and front row tickets.
And also starring roles.
Oh, yeah. That too.
But no, I want to talk about one of my favorite podcasts, which happens to have a theme song written by one of my favorite musical artists, Jeff Tweedy.
Ooh, what's the show and what does it have to do with our podcast? Are they a new sponsor?
If only. I like it that we don't have weird commercial breaks, but it would be nice to have money. Anyway, it's called Family Trips with the Myers Brothers. Have you actually listened to this yet?
I have actually only listened to about 5 seconds of this, and you know why, and I think it's why you brought it up.
It is why I brought it up, but can I say before I tell you why I brought it up, how have you not listened to this podcast? For those of you who haven't, and it's really not a paid ad, and they don't need any paid ads because they're very popular, but it's Seth Meyers and his brother Josh Meyers, and it's this whole show about going on family trips. It's like my dream podcast. It's such a good idea. You're talking about trips. You're talking about people's childhoods. How can you not think this is a great idea?
It is a great idea. Why didn't we do it?
Why didn't you listen to it?
Because I don't actually like listening to podcasts that much.
Wait, really?
Well, I like to listen to story podcasts, not interview and talkie podcasts.
All right. Well, it's a good thing you decided to do a podcast.
Yeah. Anyway, can we talk about why we're bringing up this podcast besides it being your favorite podcast other than this one?
Yes. So on the show a couple weeks ago where they interview Will Forte from Saturday Night Live, we found out that both Seth Meyers and Will Forte do the New York Times Spelling Bee.
Because they're cool like that.
Isn't that cool? I love when the Spelling Bee comes up in like random things. And apparently our friend Leslie found this out because somebody posted it on Facebook. Mm-hmm. But there was something that they got wrong, right, Jen?
Yes, they did. So the conversation, and this is the only part of this podcast, the Myers Brothers podcast, that I have listened to, because before I corrected them, I wanted to make sure that they actually got it wrong, and they did. I think it was Will Forte was complaining that they don't accept, they were talking about birds, that they don't accept booby in the bee. But they do accept booby in the bee.
Wait, I thought it was boob and not booby. Do they actually accept booby? I thought it was
booby. They accept booby, B-O-O-B-Y, as the bird.
Oh.
Now, I wrote to Seth Meyers on Instagram, and he hasn't gotten back to me. So if you know Seth Meyers, give him a little nudge for us. And I sent him our Birds of the Bee list, which if you haven't seen it, we'll post it again. Go on Facebook and check it out.
Cool.
It's a checklist of all the birds that have appeared in the Bee, or most of them anyway. And it has Booby on it. I checked it out. It's appeared in like over 30 solution sets or something. Then I was thinking maybe he tried to spell it B-O-O-B-I-E.
Is that not how you spell like a blue-footed booby?
No, you spell it with a Y.
Ah, interesting. So I-E is not a bird. It's just like an actual booby.
I don't know. I thought that you spelled it all with a Y.
I think there's got to be a booby with an I-E. I don't know. Put it on our list, Jen.
It doesn't count in the B. I checked it out.
Well, just because it doesn't count in the B, lots of weird things don't count.
No. Yeah, it could totally be a word. Oh, we're going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff that didn't count in the B soon.
Oh, good, good. I do have to say one other New York Times related game thing I wanted to talk about, which is it also came up in one of my other favorite shows to listen to, which is the Howard Stern Show. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like Howard Stern, you can just go away from me because I love Howard Stern now.
He really
and if you haven't listened
Howard
to him
Stern.
In like 20 years, try it again. He's changed.
She has almost convinced me to love Howard
Stern. Things you've listened
to,
you've liked, I would like to point out.
I'm
seen.
More like Robin, though. I like Robin Quivers.
I love Robin, too. And Robin does Connections.
Cool. Now I
so,
like her even more.
I thought it was funny that she was talking about mm-hmm. how much she loves Connections. But it also made me remember that I should tell everyone, because apparently on this show, according to my brother, I really was going after Connections hard, which I didn't even remember. But apparently that's true. And I have to tell you all that now my son and I play Connections in the car going to gymnastics. He like tells me words and we talk about it and mm-hmm. we do the puzzle. And I really like doing it that way. It's very fun. Also, it's possible that I just like it because I've gotten much better at it. But Connections, it's fun. So if I said it wasn't, it is.
It totally is. And I will also tell you that we made Major Jackson a Connections fan.
Oh,
so
good.
I just saw Major, who was a poet and the host of the Slowdown podcast, for those of you who don't know, amazing podcast.
Another
about
great
poetry.
Podcast.
Yes. And I saw Major last weekend and he was telling me how we turned him on to Connections, and he and his wife do it every night now and they're totally addicted.
Oh, that's awesome. Do they do it together or do they do
they
it separate?
They do. And at first I was like, oh, how do you do that? That's hard. I don't really understand how you do it with Gus either. And then he said that they're both on their own phones, but they talk it out together. So
I actually really like doing it without even reading it. And
I
it actually works a lot
in your head.
Yeah. Again, checkmate you at life, just not singing apparently. So.
Checkmate you at singing. Do, 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 do. All right. Are we ever going to get to this show and to the Week in Bees?
Well, actually, there were so many good and so many bad puzzles while we were on winter holiday. I think we should do something crazy. Just for this first show of the season, let's do the Month in Bees.
This is the part of the show where we usually talk about bees from the previous week. But for 1 week only, talking about bees from the end of December through January. So roughly 12/19/23 through 1/30/24. Should we start with best puzzle of that time?
All right. I have a best puzzle, I think.
Okay.
January 8th, 2024. Why? 4 pangrams.
Mm-hmm.
Tantalization. Initialization.
Lionization.
I was going to name the 4 pangrams.
Go ahead.
You can have it.
I'm excited.
And nationalization. That's right. So tantalization, initialization, lionization, and nationalization. And did you realize that made the longest word to ever appear in the B? 15 letters, nationalization.
No.
Thank you, Sarah, for writing us about that. And I confirmed it in Spelling Bee Solver.
Very cool. You know, I really wanted anti-nationalization to be there, and it wasn't. And as I was typing it in, it was getting to that point where I don't know whether you've ever tried this, but my niece will sometimes pick up my phone and just start typing in random letters. It does get to a point where it says, that's too long for the bee.
Oh, no, and I didn't know
I
that.
Think I was approaching, yeah, it'll say too long. I think I was approaching that point with anti-nationalization.
Which did not
which
count,
didn't count,
which point out. And I really want Italianization. I think that would be a great, actually, it is a word, and I didn't know why it didn't count. but
it is. And I wanted Latinization, but I'm guessing that both of those are capitalized.
Probably. Anyway, that was a super fun day. Was there one of those words? Oh, you didn't get lionization, right? Did I make that up?
I did. I just got it. I got it last. All right,
because you wrote and you were like, oh, this is the greatest. There's the greatest word. And I think you meant tantalization.
That was the first word that I saw. And I got lionization. And then I wrote to you the next morning because I had gotten it at like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I didn't want to text
you. Because I was like, you've really missed the best one, Jen.
Well, when I got it, I was like, oh, that's what she was talking about.
Yes. And it's so nice having like good Z words and fun. Yeah, that was a great one.
There was one other one that I thought was really fun, which was 125. And it was just because like all of the words rhymed, witching and twitching and itching.
Like
and I just
twitching.
Was like breezing through it. But it wasn't as good as the Z one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a worse puzzle?
Well, on 112, you wrote to me and told me that B that day was going to be my worst nightmare. And then you put in the qualification in a fun way. And I'm like, how is my worst nightmare ever fun?
Wait. Oh, you didn't know why I wrote that? You still don't know why
I
wrote that?
I guess that it was it was compound words.
Yes, but also it's because, okay, so Jen gets very upset if she thinks anyone is suggesting. I don't even want to say the things that you get upset if someone's suggesting. So my point was, when I say worst nightmare, I mean like it wasn't really your worst nightmare.
Okay. Cecilia is trying to point to the fact that I am arachnophobic and I don't like anybody to bring up things that in any way make me think about that phobia.
Yeah,
she
I didn't
was just
even
trying
bring
to
it
not
up.
Bring it up, but I knew what she was talking about.
Well, this is why I said in a fun way. I didn't want you to like be like, I can't look at the puzzle today. I wanted you to like look at the puzzle and be excited.
I appreciate that. And I knew right away that it was compounds. So it worked.
Okay.
And I appreciate it. I appreciate your sensitivity.
There were words like blackball, mm-hmm. ball cock, mm-hmm. I like
which
that.
We always
book
like,
rack,
yeah.
callback.
I didn't like book rack. Did you like book rack?
Wait, why didn't you like book rack?
It's a weird word, magazine rack, but a book rack, a bookshelf.
It's a rack with books, but you know what a book rack is, right?
Yeah,
like a bookshelf, I think of is like
weird word.
Having all those shelves, but then there's like the book rack. You don't have like a vision of a book rack and it being something specific?
I have a vision of a magazine rack being something specific.
Yes, but not a book rack. It's a different.
All right. Is a book rack one of those things that like spins around and
you
has
know what
baskets
a backpack,
on it?
A backpack is something different too.
Should we talk about the word that we
totally
listen?
Different.
You're talking about a puzzle that was 48 words long, and I didn't get ball until the 36th word.
I do like that you counted that. She writes me, I just got ball.
I was like, how did I miss ball?
The best part of that one for me, and I think for you too, is I look the next morning. And what word is still there, Jen?
Baobab.
Baobab. Neither of us got baobab.
Which I have to say, it's really sad because when people complain about missing baobab online, I'm always like, listen to our podcast and you'll never forget baobab again.
Yeah.
And I say it just like that.
And then you missed
it. We missed baobab.
Oh, you know what else was in there?
So if I said that to you, I apologize. Yeah.
What else was in there? Lookbook.
Look, he's been counting lookbook.
He counted it once before. In November, he disallowed it from 14 previous puzzles. And I've complained.
I know, but that first time.
Well, I.
And that first time he counted it, we were like, yay, lookbook.
I didn't think we talked about it.
Maybe I talked about it in my head.
Maybe. Anyway, I was very excited for lookbook because I had been annoyed that it wasn't there. And I am curious to know why he started counting it in November. So thanks, Sam.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
Lookbook.
I have another one for worst puzzle, and that would be December 30th.
Which was remind me.
Okay, so you wrote me on that day, today is a great B for Spanish. English, not so much.
Oh, right. And that was the day that you actually had to have Bob find the pangram for you.
Yeah, I had no idea what it was. And finally, I was just like, Bob, what is it? I'm missing it. And he saw it right away, which was zirconia.
Zirconia, which I thought was a good word. But just so listeners who don't know, Cecilia never misses the pangram. Like, I always get the pangram way into the puzzle. But she is a player who is always like, first things first, find the pangram. And she usually finds it right away.
And that's why I was annoyed.
Yeah. So that was really unusual.
And let's be honest. I made him find the pangram for me after like looking for 5 minutes because I was annoyed that I couldn't see it. And I honestly didn't necessarily expect that he was going to see it, but he looked at it and he was like, zirconia. And I was like, oh,
yeah.
Duh. But did you know that zircon was the name for the mineral and it was in there?
I think I know it now, but I don't know whether I got the word. I don't remember.
Well, I did not know that, but now I do. Mm-hmm. Arnica, which maybe I got by accident, but I really thought that was a brand name. Yeah. I didn't realize that was like a flower. And I had no idea about ocarina. Did you know anything about ocarina?
I say ocarina. You say ocarina?
I don't know. Who cares?
I don't know either.
Look it up.
I looked it up.
Is it weird looking?
It's totally weird looking.
Wait, we need to describe. So go ahead and describe it for people.
It looks like a ceramic pipe that's closed up and has a whole bunch of holes all over it, like Swiss cheese, like a Swiss cheese ceramic pipe.
So the definition is a small egg-shaped wind instrument with a mouthpiece and holes for the fingers. And if you just said that, I'd go, oh, okay, like those little pipes that you get in Mexico when you're walking on the beach. And maybe that's even what this is, but I've never seen one with so many holes. Like there's so many holes. It's very weird.
My description
was good, right? Oh my God. And it does look like it's ocarina, not ocarina.
Okay, ocarina.
Oh, and then there's something called, why is an ocarina called a sweet potato?
What? Did they make them out of sweet potatoes at one time?
Well, let's see. This ancient wind instrument is a vessel flute with duct and finger holes. This instrument was used in many old world countries from China to Mesoamerica. This type of ocarina gets its nickname from the roundness and similarity to a sweet potato. Okay, but it doesn't really look anything like a sweet potato. And why a sweet potato over any other potato?
I don't know.
It actually looks like a bicycle seat in a couple of things.
What? Now I want to look it up.
Look at some of the pictures.
Hold on.
It totally looks like a weird bicycle
seat. Let me look again.
Like a very uncomfortable bicycle seat, but kind of like a bicycle seat.
Okay, this one that I'm looking at looks like a duck head. Some of them look like duck heads.
Duck head is actually also true. It does very much look like a
duck head.
And
some of them look like hair dryers.
Oh, it definitely looks like a
hair dryer. Mini hair dryers with holes in them.
So what do you, I mean, this is a word we're supposed to know. What do you think?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm glad to know it. I'm going to leave it at I'm glad to know it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if I ever have to play Two Truths and a Lie again as an icebreaker game, my lie is going to be that I play the ocarina, If I say ocarina, they'll know it's a lie. Do you know what word was not there that day?
I do know what word because you wrote about it.
Because
you were
Sam
very
might not have any.
No Riz, Sam. Where's your Riz?
No Riz. What the heck? We did a whole thing on it. It was everybody's word of the year. And even New York Times wrote an article on it. And you didn't include it? R-I-Z-Z, people.
I did like Tsarina, though. Tsarina was good.
And I liked that Tsarina and raccoon were in the same puzzle.
That is kind of a weird puzzle that has both of those. Good point.
Right? Yeah. I liked that. I was super excited for 12/31 because there was a first.
12/31, New Year's Eve. You spent all night working the puzzle.
Not really.
The clock struck down.
But Sam gave us an amazing New Year's Eve present.
That's a weird thing to say is amazing, Jen.
Why? I was so excited about it. What I am talking about is unmounted. Unmounted counted for the first time in the puzzle. And the reason I was so excited is because the very first episode of this show, of Tom, Tit, and Baobab, we talked about unwords and I argued hard for unmount and unmounted.
Wait, that's so funny because I remember
it
being exactly the opposite. I remember having this discussion, which is weird because I don't remember much. And I was like, of course, you can mount and unmount something, like put them up or down on the wall. And you were like, what?
Yes. No, we were on the same page with it because I said that you can unmount a drive from your computer. I might have said that when we came back the next week or something, but I think we were on the same page.
You know, Jen is just checkmating.
It's our denouement.
Revisionist history.
Denouement.
Yeah, denouement's a good one. That was the other pen.
We talked
term,
about
right?
it on the show because I didn't know how to pronounce it. No, I do.
Oh, okay.
Oddment was in the puzzle that day.
So yeah, oddment was a word there that I did not like at all and was really annoyed with. And you said, well, I got it, but I didn't. I just kind of took a stab and it was there and I was happy. But to me, that's a ridiculous word. And then if you look it up, it's a ridiculous word. It basically means, odd crap, oddment.
Well, exactly. Like it is what it means. Material. Oddment. I kind of like, I like odd now, words. Oddball.
Yeah, that's fine. You can checkmate on the odd part too. But
so I was clearly really upset about this checkmating thing.
I'm just going to have you checkmate me everything.
Because I
like
think
it.
That you got duodenum.
Duodenum, but for, you know, I do know anatomy, so to give, you know, some credit.
Well, did you know that the duodenum is next to the jejunum?
Jejunum, sure.
J-E-J-U-N-U-M?
Yeah, didn't we do this? I mean, this wasn't in high school biology that we had. Oh, you didn't take AP bio, did you?
No.
Yeah.
I did take anatomy and physiology in college.
Oh, so you should remember this.
But I didn't remember that.
This is the fun part.
Right? I know. Yeah. I didn't remember it. Yeah. I like jejunum. Jejunum. Yeah. How do you pronounce it?
Jejunum. That sounds right to me. Yeah.
Jejunum.
Jejunum. Why not?
Okay.
115. Hoodwink. How happy were you?
I was excited about that because we did a really good deep dive on this show about hoodwink. Pulling the hood over one's eyes. And it was just like a fun puzzle with H and K and W. And yeah.
I agree. I like that we both wanted Windhoek and we saw that before Hoodwink.
I did. Windhoek is the first word
too.
That I tried.
I was like, no, Windhoek. And then I was like, oh, crap.
I was like, this has to be a word.
You know, I was thinking of it as like a windsock.
Oh, I was kind of thinking about that too. But, you know, Windhoek is the capital of Namibia.
Oh, really?
It's W-I-N-D-H-O-E-K.
And you say it like a V?
Yeah.
Windhoek.
Windhoek.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah. On the 14th of January, actuality was the pancreas. Mm-hmm. And our listener, David, wrote us to say, trash word. Mm-hmm. Thoughts?
Usually, I agree with David. This time, I don't think that I do because I say in actuality. And if I say in actuality and it's a trash word, then I talk trash.
You know you talk trash. Well, let's see. So his argument was, yes, it's a word. It's in the dictionary, but it's a messed up word. Mm-hmm. The root is from Latin actualitas, the capacity to take action, but the current usage is just to exist. Why not use reality mm-hmm. or is? Actuality sounds like corporate speak. It's a trash word. And I thought my mother would like that too. I actually haven't asked her, but that seems like the kind of thing she would agree
your mother.
With. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you think it's a trash
in
word?
Actuality,
do you ever say it?
It's a good question. When you said it like that, I was like, do I ever say that? I don't know. I try not to say actually. And so I think I don't say in actuality because I said actually too much. I don't know. But yeah, I would say in general trash word. But
you know what
word
like that I say a lot is ultimately.
Ultimately, really? Because you're trying not to say actually or why?
No, not in place of actually.
Right. I guess ultimately.
Like, you know, people have different words that they
tells,
yes.
Yeah. I hate them and I try to get away from them, mm-hmm. even though I know I say them. So I see, I was just about to say, I don't say so, but that one is like so on my radar. I know people who start every line with so, and I was listening to the Daily the other day, maybe even yesterday. Uh-huh. And the person kept saying, so, you know, it's their and oh my God, it makes me crazy. It's fine, except for it makes me crazy. Does that make sense?
Yes. And I actually know a lot about in actuality, I know a lot about our linguistic idiosyncrasies because when I edit this show.
Do I say so more than I think I do?
We both say so a bit.
Yeah, but not every line, hopefully.
We say like a lot.
Yeah, yeah. That's always
you
been my thing.
You say like more than I do.
Oh, that's
you
always been my thing. And teachers were always like, hey, stop. What's it like? What's it like? I know. What can you do?
I say but a lot.
But you mean like you're trying to say like I want your butt.
Like bottoms up.
But all right, back to the pangram. The 14th, best word that day. Catalytically. And you know what made me so happy is that I actually got that word. And when I got it, I was like, that's really a word? Oh my God.
I have been such a bad B player this whole winter break. I think I got queen twice the entire winter break.
Jen, only going for it when it counts, huh?
I know. It's like terrible. I have to get back on my game.
But come on. Did you not like catalytic?
I do.
Catalytically?
I do like catalytically. And I'm sad if I didn't get it. I don't know whether I got it.
There was something weird about that puzzle because usually I hate when it's like, all right, what's the ending? You know, but there's something about that puzzle. Mm-hmm. It was very fun. Any others you want to talk about?
The day that Chopstick was not there.
And we're even close.
123. Oh my gosh. It was totally. So 123, every letter except for the S in Chopstick was there. The pangram was toothpick. And I seriously was walking down the street with my dog, as I usually do, doing the bee in the morning. And for the first good 3 minutes, I was just staring at that puzzle, seeing the word Chopstick. It was like it paralyzed me.
Oh, that's so funny. That day, Pothook was there. And I go, trash word, right?
Yeah, it's, I mean, now that I know what it is a puck for a pot.
Yeah. Oh, wait, what did you think it was before?
I didn't know what it was. Really, I just obnoxious. Didn't like, even think of it as a word.
Yeah. It's like the words that I put in all the time where I write like chop, hook, hook, chop, tooth, hook. The, you know, like, yes. And that's what pot hook is. It's a random thing that you may or may not guess at, right? Ugh.
I don't understand why it's one word. No. Why isn't it two words?
It's ridiculous. Yeah. And you know what was not there? Pandan. Okay. I do not know plant words, mm-hmm. and especially at the end of December and beginning of January, I am sure that there was some other editor there because there were all of these weird plants. Yeah. Arnica was one.
I think they were plants that Sam has put in there before, and actually, I have a suspicion, see, that you know how he goes on these kicks of things that he gets really into, like when we first started doing the bee, it was birds, and then it was fish.
Oh, so you think there was a plant one?
2024 might be a plant year. For Sam.
Well, it might have been before, but no pandan. I mean, if you eat Thai food, you have some idea what pandan is.
Maybe he doesn't eat Thai food.
Ugh, maybe he's lame. Well, anyway. Right around that time, you also started complaining like every day that the puzzles were too long, and they weren't even that long. And you kept being like, this puzzle's too long.
They were long. There were like two that week that were 60 some words.
On the 20th, it was 67 words. And it was an easy one, too. 67 words and, like, flew through. I was like, shit, I'm going to actually get this whole puzzle. And it's 67 words. I thought I was going to get through all of it. And I was all excited. And then I must have gone away from it. And then I looked the next morning and the word I missed is ennoble and ennobled, which really annoyed me because I tried them. I totally tried them, but I tried them with one N. Yes. And I didn't even, you know, when it was such a big puzzle that it's not like I was really like gunning to get it. So I didn't like look it up or anything. I was just like, oh, I tried them. That must not really be a word, you know?
Uh-huh. Do you want to hear something really funny that will make you feel better about that?
Yes.
That day there were three pangrams and I kept writing to you and saying that I didn't have the third pangram yet. I said, I got one pangram and I loved it so much that I'm going to talk about it at length on this show. The second pangram I got, you know, shortly thereafter. Cecilia told me that there were three. So I kept looking for it. I never got it. And do you know what it was?
And it was the easiest one. Yeah. It was belonged.
No. It was boondoggled.
Oh, wait. You got belong and the boondoggle and not boondoggled? All right. Well, to give you, like, to give a little credit, boondoggled, I was surprised that it was a word.
But come on. I didn't even try that.
Yeah. I don't know why you didn't try.
I thought that might make you feel better about missing ennobled.
Anything else we have to talk about, Jen?
Can we just, like, really quick run through a whole bunch of words that Sam didn't count that he should have counted?
Sure.
17, no alchemical.
Oh, my God. I saw that and I immediately wrote to him and was like, you're going to be so mad.
I was. I was very mad. I was almost as mad
knew what
as
I was talking about.
Because he's left it out before. And he has also left out the word he left out on 110, which is ichthyic.
Oh, I like that how you pronounce it? I was just going to ask you if you had looked it up, how to pronounce it. Ichthyic.
It has to do with fishes. It's like things that have to do with fishes. And he loves fish. And as I wrote to Cecilia that day, there is no good reason to know that word if it's not going to be included in a word game puzzle.
Good point.
113, no exempla?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Makes sense. 117, Viand.
Yeah, so why not? I learned the word. Why are we not counting it anymore?
Yeah, it used to count. We talked about it on the show.
Yeah, why would it take
that
it off?
I was not happy with. Yeah. I don't know. 128, he did not count plenilune, which was one of my unbelievable
And you weren't really
words.
Mad about that.
Oh, I
yeah,
sure
it's
was.
It's an unbelievable word.
What do you mean I wasn't really mad about it? I was totally mad about it. I saw it there.
You shouldn't count an unbelievable word,
I needed
Jen.
One more word in that puzzle to finish it.
Did you finish the puzzle that day?
I did. And my final word was okay. Pipeline. But plenilune would have been a much better final word. Yeah, that's all I have to say. Oh, you know what? Those are words that he didn't include. There is a word that he did include that I don't think he should have included.
Which is?
On 116, little neck.
Why? Because you don't eat clams?
You knew what a little neck was?
Little neck clam. Yes.
That's just like something that people eat clams know what that is?
Yeah. It's kind of like it's a real, like I got it immediately. Like it's a real common word, but you're right. You'd have to eat clams or like look at restaurant.
I don't eat
like menus where there would be clams.
That's weird. I thought that was really weird. And then I looked it up and it said a young quahog suitable to be eaten raw. And I was like, what the heck's a quahog?
Does he count quahog?
I don't know, but now I know it is a thick-shelled edible clam.
Put it on the list, Jen.
Oh, man, that list's getting really, really long. There, I mean, there's so much more that we could talk about, really.
Yes, but Jen, that was a lot, and I'm really glad you took notes when we were away.
See, you make fun of me when I do things like take notes, but I know what needs to happen.
Speaking of what needs to happen.
You're ready to have your mind blown?
Oh, I am. It's time for the word of the week. This is the part of the show where we take a closer look at one word from the previous week's puzzles. Except in this case, we had more than a month to work with. So Jen, was it hard to figure out which word to talk about?
Absolutely not. It was so easy to figure out which word to talk about. Boondoggle.
Boondoggle. You were so happy with boondoggle.
I was so excited. I wrote to Cecilia. I was like, best pangram today. So that morning when I got it, I looked it up immediately and found out it had a really interesting history.
Ooh.
And I was like, bummed that I wasn't going to get to do a deep dive on it. And now I am. Show. So yay. Interestingly enough, last week, so my mom and I have been watching Madam Secretary, which we never watched.
What is that?
It's a television show. Tia Leone is Secretary of State.
Oh, okay.
And Tim Daly is her husband. And every time I look at him, I think of how you used to make fun of me for liking the show Wings.
You did like Wings.
Is that
Wings.
What it was called?
Yeah, I remember that now.
I did. Anyway, on that show, season 4, she used the word boondoggle.
Do you think boondoggle is a weird word?
I don't think it's weird, but I don't think of it as a word that people use anymore.
Do you know that Bob says it's a word that you use all the time in the military?
Really?
That they always talked about going on a boondoggle. And huh. I was like, oh, that's interesting because I wouldn't think of it as going on a boondoggle, but he said all the time.
Well, okay, let's talk about it. The meaning of boondoggle. According to Oxford Dictionary of American Political Slang, It's an extravagant and useless project. Merriam-Webster defines it, the noun, as a wasteful or impractical project or activity, often involving graft, as in the project is a complete boondoggle, over budget, behind schedule, and unnecessary. Now, there's also the verb form, which is where we get boondoggled, which I didn't know. So there are lots of theories about the origins of boondoggle, including the idea that it was the name of toys that Daniel Boone made for his dog. And I have a side note here that there is a D-O-G-G-L-E app, not doggle as it's pronounced in boondoggle, but a doggle, which is a dog wordle, and a brand of dog goggles that are called doggles.
Wait, there's a what?
There is a brand of dog goggles that is called doggles. Okay. They're specially shaped to fit a dog's face.
Crazy.
Anyway, I just found those things out while I was looking. I was looking to see if doggle on its own was a word, but no. So Most people agree that the evidence supports the idea that this word comes from the Boy Scouts. And the first definition in Merriam-Webster is actually a braided cord worn by Boy Scouts as a neckerchief slide, hat band, or ornament. You might be wondering, how do we get from a Boy Scout braided cord to a wasteful or impractical project involving graft? Are you wondering that?
Yes.
Okay.
I am definitely wondering that.
Most of what I'm going to tell you right now is from an article called The Story of Boondoggle, A Useful Word for Useless Work by Ben Zimmer, who did a piece on the Slate podcast Lexicon Valley in 2015 about this. From the 1920s through the 1930s, there was this super popular Boy Scout camp activity, which was braiding and knotting strands of canvas and leather together into like lanyards and bracelets and neckerchief holders and all those things that they just said. In March 1930, Scouting magazine used the word boondoggle and attributed it to Scoutmaster Robert Link, who apparently coined it before the World Scouting Jamboree in 1929, where he presented one of these boondoggles, these things that kids were making, Boy Scouts were making at camp, to all of the important attendees of the Jamboree, including the Prince of Wales. Hmm. That is the first time that boondoggle is in print.
Okay.
But it didn't become like a word known to the general population at that point. It started to become popular in April 1935. And this is what happened. There was a Board of Aldermen meeting in New York City that year on April 3rd, and they were investigating the city's Emergency Relief Bureau, which was part of, you know, the New Deal. They had witnesses coming up to talk about the different programs to make sure that they weren't wasting money. And one of the witnesses got up and was talking about the money being used to teach people how to make boondoggles. Literally teaching them how to like make these crafts. And it turns out it was like they were teaching teachers and stuff so that they could go and have recreational activities for kids instead of having them out on the street doing whatever.
Okay.
So there was like a totally legit thing.
Right.
But then the New York Times ran a sensational front page story on it a day later where they talked about the hearing and they focused on boondoggling and rhythmic dancing, which apparently was another one of the things that they were teaching people to do with this emergency relief money. And word spread from the New York Times. And critics of Roosevelt and the New Deal totally jumped on it. Boondoggling, what a waste of money. That's ridiculous. People shouldn't be doing that. And it became this stand-in for wasteful government spending and opposition to New Deal programs. So FDR in January 1936 gave a speech where he tried to reclaim the word, and he said, "There is a grand word that is going around, boondoggling. If we can boondoggle ourselves out of this depression, that word is going to be enshrined in the hearts of the American people for many years to come." And that's funny. The story of the boondoggle.
Nice. Very nice. Well, you have confirmed that it makes sense that Bob was saying, like, you go on a boondoggle for, like, military, you know, various military things that, like, everyone's like, ugh, why are we going here? This is stupid.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Like a waste of time. Yeah, it totally makes sense.
So is this not a word that you've ever used or feel like you knew ahead of time?
Oh, I knew it. I don't think I've used it. It just seems like it feels like an old-fashioned word to me. It doesn't feel that way to you?
Well, it was funny because you wrote to me when it came up and you were like, great word, but it's a very uncommon word.
Yeah.
And then when it came to me, I was like, oh, I don't think of that as a very uncommon word. You know, like I was thinking of something weirder. But then neither of my children had any idea what that word was. So you were right.
I think of it as an old-fashioned word, like doodad.
Doodad.
Boondoggle.
Also not a weird word in my opinion. But
or like thingamajig. These are words that I know that I don't say, and I imagine people of an older generation saying them.
True. But you know, there's some words that neither of us ever say, but we like to talk about. You know what those are called?
I think I know what they're called, but I'm going to let you say it.
Oh, thanks. Does that mean I checkmated you this time? Unbelievable words.
Unbelievable words are non-B words that we have come across in the week prior to recording that we then like to share with each other and with you.
Oh, did we say it has to be from this week? Can it be anything from the last month?
I'm going to be honest with you. Some of mine are always from the month because I just keep a running list.
Big faker.
But yes, we can pull from the month. So go for it. What's yours?
Mine is not from last month. I said that, but actually it is from this week.
Wouldn't it be funny if we had the same word?
It would be, but actually it's funny. I almost didn't pick this word. I think I say it's funny a lot too. That's another one of my little ticks. I almost didn't pick this word because I assume it's a word that you totally know because it's a crossword. Well, I came across it in the crossword this week. Mountebank. It's spelled Mountebank. And I had an idea of what it was, and I was very wrong. Do you know what this word is?
I don't think that I know what it is.
All right, so I thought it was like a Canadian Mountie. No. Not at all.
No, no. I didn't think it was
it. It is a person who deceives others, especially in order to trick them out of their money. A charlatan.
It's somebody who hoodwinks people.
Hoodwinker. It's a hoodwinker.
It's a hoodwinker.
Trash word. Why didn't they just use hoodwinker?
I don't know.
But anyway, that's my word.
Thank you. I will remember that for my future crossword doing.
Cool.
Very good.
Your turn.
Okay. My word is vexillology.
Like to vex? Like the ology of vexing?
You would think so, but no. Vexillology, V-E-X-I-L-L-O-L-O-G-Y, is the study of flags.
Really? Now, I'm surprised I don't know this because, you know, I have a child who loves flags, like loves flags.
Yes. Well, now you can tell him that he is an amateur vexillologist.
Ah, spell it one more time. V-E-X?
V-E-X-I-L-L-O-L-O-G-Y. Vexillology.
I love it. Okay.
Back, I think it was in December, our friend, either Leslie or Aaron, sent us an article called Things to Know About the New Minnesota State Flag and Seal.
Yes, which was funny because, you know, we went to Minnesota in December, so Bob was all over this new flag situation.
Yeah. So anybody who doesn't know about this, look up New Minnesota State Flag because there was like a lot of controversy over it and it's a great story.
But basically, Minnesota changed their flag so it doesn't have weird crap on it anymore.
Yes. So the sentence that was in that article was Ted Kay, Secretary of the North American Vexillological Association, who studies flags and was involved in the redesign, has said the new Minnesota flag gets an A+ from him for its simplicity, uniqueness, and inclusion of meaningful symbols. I read that sentence and I was like, what is a Vexillological Association? And I looked it up and was shocked that it was study of flags, same as you were, and I wrote it down to use for this very purpose. Apparently, vexillum was a Latin word for a square flag of Roman cavalry. That's where it comes from. But weird, right?
Yeah, but I like knowing that word. So thank you, I will say.
You're very welcome.
But bad news, Jen.
What?
We've talked forever at this point.
Well, we were gone for a month and a half.
I know, but you know what that means? I don't think we can do the wild card.
No.
Or rather, the wild card was that we talked about a month's worth of words in a segment meant for 1 week.
Well, that's wild. And I understand. But does that mean I don't get to go, meow?
Oh. I was thinking that maybe we'd make them wait to tune in next week and see if it still worked.
Well, anybody who doesn't usually listen to this show and just heard me go, meow, probably has no idea what this whole thing is about. So they'll have to tune in for that.
All right. Well, please do tune in, listeners. We are so happy to be back. Thanks to those of you who wrote us while we were away. Please keep the messages coming. You can find us on Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. You can also email us at tomtittenbaobab@gmail.com.
We want to know all about the bees you like, bees you hate, words you missed, and words you'd like to know about.
And if you're listening on Spotify, don't forget to answer the Q&A and take the poll.
If you like TMB and never want to miss an episode, subscribe or follow us.
Even better, leave a rating or review. That way other word nerds and puzzle lovers can find our very indie podcast.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.